third hour. It's going to be a great hour. Welcome back. Nice to have you here. I am Jim Rome. In this third hour, I have a conversation with Jalen Ramsey and also Mike Mitchell, back-to-back, starting next segment. So you want to call this segment if you want to call it all. 1-800-636-8686. We're live in the Quicken Loan Studios. You know that. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Already broke down the Monday night matchup last night. Bills Mafia, ask yourselves, what do you want to be known for? I thought the Patriots did what they had to do. Never easy to go on the road in the division, even against a team which you already own. But that makes 14 of 16 in Buffalo. However, to me, they're not the same offense without Sony Michel. In fact, I thought they struggled last night without him running the football. Trade deadline in the NFL. A couple of key players have already moved. We talked about that briefly. Jalen Ramsey next segment. Mike Mitchell coming up at 40 past the hour. I'm not in on Friday. And before you come at me or at me on Twitter for that, remember, if I don't use the vacation, I lose the vacation. So it's never an ideal time, but I've got to use as much as I can because it does not carry over. The reason I'm not in on Friday, the Rome family is making another run to Wisconsin. Not only are we going to Wisco, we are going to the Badger game. The entire Rome fam will be at the Wisconsin-Rutgers game on Saturday. Jake Rome is still looking at colleges. Wisconsin is still on his short list. Hopefully, the Rome family is on Wisconsin's short list, and we'll find out what it's like. We went in the middle of summer, so that doesn't really give you a true indicator. Number one, it was a perfect day weather-wise. Number two, there was nobody on campus. It was out of session. So we want to find out what a game day is like. We want to find out what Wisconsin's like in November. So I'm not here on Friday. We will be at that game on Saturday. If you're tailgating, I'm looking for you. The Rome family wants the full Wisconsin tailgate experience. I've done it before. They haven't. So we'll be looking for you on campus on Saturday. Wisconsin and Rutgers. Golden State gets off last night. Klay Thompson was amazing. I'll have that for you in a few moments. But let's go to the phones. I mentioned that after Josh's call, there was no way I could confidently take a call unless the guy that Josh talked about were to make that call. And here he is. You know Rick in Buffalo. He's angry. He's venomous. He hangs out backstage with the Goo Goo Dolls. He's violent. He's back. Let's go to Buffalo. Rick, what's going on?
Jim, the telltale sign of a moron is someone who doesn't learn from his mistakes. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Josh in Detroit. Me versus Josh is like Tyson versus McNeely. But if he wants to keep stepping up, I'm going to keep knocking him out. I'll never have mercy on the weak, lame, and incompetent. Now, Jim, I want to take a minute to sincerely congratulate the fine people in New England on the recent success of the Red Sox and Patriots. I know how much they adore their sports teams. That's because these losers have nothing else going on in their sorry-ass lives. Seriously, Jim, how bankrupt does your life have to be for you to consider World Series titles and Super Bowl championships personal accomplishments? But I guess when you account for their dead-end jobs, dead-end families, and dead-end personalities, it's a little bit easier to understand. And Jim, with Halloween coming tomorrow, I got an important message for everyone to hear. So turn up your radios and listen carefully. If you're over the age of 12 and dress up for Halloween, you're a grade A, world-class, effing loser. I don't care if you're going to a party. I don't care if you're taking your kid trick-or-treating. And I don't care if you teach the first grade. Any adult wearing a costume is a loser. No exceptions. And if you want to take up the argument on Twitter, be my guest. I'll eviscerate you there, too. War Thurman Thomas, the greatest all-purpose back in the history of the league. Unwar idiot Bills fans throwing rubber toys on the field. You're ruining my good name. And if I catch you doing it this Sunday, your ass will be mine. Thanks for the vine, Jim. I'm out.
Rick in Buffalo, thanks for the phone call. Rack him. He's the best. Rick in Buffalo, I agree, frankly, with everything he said. I'm not going to go as hard on the Chouds, Patriot fans, Red Sox fans, but all that other stuff. Like, Josh, if he wants to keep getting up, Rick's going to keep knocking him the hell out. And you already know where I come out on adults wearing costumes. I agree with what he just said. Halloween is a kid's holiday. It's for kids. It's not for adults. I agree with him. I don't care what Halloween party you've been invited to. I don't care how hot you think you look in that costume. I don't care if your boss is all about that. Don't bring that around. Adults should not be wearing costumes. But, of course, every office has one. We don't do that here. Hawk is a moron. He might try that. Hawk, were you going to do that tomorrow? Probably so. Obviously, you're not taking your cue from me. I don't do that. You've never seen me do that. I don't rock a costume. It's a kid's holiday. I'm all about the kids having a good time. Do what you got to do, kids. Gear up. Get your candy. Do your thing. But he's right. If you're over the age of 12, y'all cut some slack for a teenager. If the teenager's got some creativity, man, don't put a mask on. Don't put a mask on and go looking for king-size Snicker bars. It's a right way and a wrong way. All right, so Rick in Buffalo. You know, I let him go, but I really wanted to ask him how that concert was. He's catching a lot of flack for being backstage with the Goo Goo Dolls. I want the backstory on that. Did you buy VIP tickets, or are you somehow connected to the band? Do you know those guys? Do they know you? Are they jungle listeners? Have they heard you in the jungle, Rick? Have they heard you eviscerate guys, both on the air and on Twitter? And did they say, if we're going to play our hometown, when we think of Buffalo, we think of one thing, Rick in Buffalo. Get that guy backstage. I mean, it's possible. But I also did see that they were selling VIP packages. You could buy your way backstage, which is not unusual. Notice I'm not killing the band. No issue with the band. And definitely no issue with Rick. Rick is one of the few guys that moves the needle. Rick is one of the few guys that could show up the day of the smack off and win. Rick is one of the few guys that knocks chumps out consistently and makes the show better. Daniel in Vegas tweets, BIC Friday. That's true. If you want to talk about a guy and a brand, we saw what Brad did to Grant Napier. In case you missed it, the last time I took a day off, Grant Napier, one of the nation's finest broadcasters, came down here, appeared on this program, and without any prior knowledge, I didn't know this, and if I didn't know it, then I know my man Napes didn't know it, the BIC shows up. And again, if you know anything about Brad, Brad's the kind of guy, number one, the best caller in the history of the program. Now we know this. Number two, he only calls the program the day he's on the biggest stage and he can win $5,000, the smack off. But for whatever reason, Brad's been calling outside of the smack off and it's made the show a hell of a lot better. What I did not expect was Brad to call the show on a day when I was not here. Why did he do that? He called in to wreck Grant Napier.
How did you land this beautiful woman, Grant? You must have $10 million in a crank the size of that microphone you're talking about.
All right, so technically, it was not BIC. It was not the BIC. It was the BIM. Bert in Modelo. Get it? Brad in Corona, Bert in Modelo. So if there's one guy who needs to watch his back, it's Brian Weber. Brian Weber's coming in on Friday, another broadcast pro. And Weber knows this show. He knows this show really well, so I know he knows the BIC or the BIM or whoever the hell he pretends to be when he calls on Friday. Brad in Corona, Brent in Modelo, Bob in Tecate, Bernie in Dos Equis. I know the guy's coming. I just know he is. I haven't gotten any kind of confirmation. He hasn't checked in. Again, he didn't tell me he was calling that day. Brad and I don't communicate except on the air. I know this guy's coming. Weber, be careful. Be really careful. This dude's not to be trifled with. So, Daniel in Vegas says, BIC Friday. That's what he's talking about. Richard Hall tweets, going to Madison to watch Rutgers lay down and die. That's the way to go. it fit our schedule. We did not plan that trip around who they were playing. This was an open date. During the NFL season, I spent every other weekend in New York, or almost every other weekend in New York. So that was not, it's got nothing to do with Rutgers. I didn't circle Rutgers on the calendar. Hell, Northwestern just got them. We're going because that was the best day, but I can't wait to get there. So we will be in Madison once again this weekend. This time we'll be on campus, checking out the campus, talking to some professors, doing our due diligence, and showing up for the Saturday morning game. It's an 11 o'clock kick, so we're all about it. Be looking for the tailgate. You can only imagine what's been going on with Janet Rome this week, trying to gear the Rome family up so we're dressed properly to go outside. Man, what a nightmare. Boxes coming every day. She's got us trying clothes on every single day. Hi, honey. What kind of foot warmers do you want? I don't know. What are the choices? I know nothing about foot warmers. I'm looking at the calendar. I'm not that worried about the weather. I'm not that worried. I'm looking at a high of 50. A high of 50 on Saturday. We're not sweating this. Janet's got us geared up in long underwear and winter boots and our choice of foot warmers. A high of 50. Friday night's going to be 28. When we get in, it's going to be 28. That's fine. Not worried at all. I want to see the look on the kid's face, though, when he finds out that's where he might go to school, if he's lucky. He has to live with that, deal with that. Badger Mafia, Badger Nation, we're coming to hang out with you. The entire Rome fam coming to hang out. The entire weekend. Can't wait to get there. Look for you. When we come back, Jacksonville Jaguars corner, Jalen Ramsey, scheduled to join us. You know, there is something to be said, Alvin, for being the best.
Yeah, dude.
You know, you've outrun, outpaced, outsmarted the competition. Elite athletes know that you cannot be the best until you have beaten the best. To be the man, you have to beat the man. If you want to compete at the highest level, you need to be strong and you have to stay strong, like Castrol Edge, the strongest full synthetic motor oil, engineered with fluid titanium technology to reduce power-robbing friction to maximize engine performance. Did you know that friction can rob 10% of your performance from your engine? So look at it this way. You have to line up across from somebody else. That person's at 100%. You're at maybe 90. Most times you're going to lose. Castrol Edge is strong under pressure. It reduces friction so your engine can't perform at its highest level. Not only strong, but three times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. That according to the Kurt Orban test.
Kurt Orban.
It's the strength that your engine needs to perform at the highest level and keep you living on the edge. Castrol Edge. Stronger under pressure. Castrol Edge.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Once again, we are efforting Jalen Ramsey, Mike Mitchell after that. In the meantime, you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Rick in Buffalo inspired a little bit of reaction. As I effort Jalen Ramsey, this email reads, Rome, I just don't get how somebody can call into a nationally syndicated sports radio program and crap on a fan base for being proud of their local sports team's accomplishments, yet someone calls into said show and puffs his chest out about a local group of four guys who inspire to be a knockoff Gin Blossoms crappy band whose best concert was at a Six Flags Darien Lake. Matt in Poland Springs. Would you take it up with that guy? Take it up with that guy on Twitter. Like he said, if you want to, you can find him on Twitter, and he'll eviscerate you there like he has here. His words, not mine. Rome, now you know why we stop listening to Dad. Signed, Trevor's family. John in Huntington Beach.
Hey, John.
Trevor's family. He's talking about Trevor Price and why they no longer listen to Dad. Because he can't pick a game. All right, so as I'm efforting Jalen Ramsey, why don't we take a moment, and I don't want to lose that moment. I want to talk about what happened in Golden State last night. and the fact that they came into the season, they were playing really well. But there was some concern. Not so much about that team. They were 6-1. Things were going the right way. But there was some concern about Klay Thompson. Klay had not been shooting the ball very well. I mean, Steph had been playing at an MVP level. Kevin Durant had been playing at an MVP level. Even DeMarcus Cousins was making his presence felt, getting tossed from a game while still on the bench. But amidst that 6-1 start, the concern did center around Klay Thompson, because Klay Thompson was not shooting like Klay Thompson. Klay went into last night's game with 5 made threes. And not in the previous game, not in the last week, but on the entire season. 5 made threes in 7 games. Klay started the year 5-36. And I thought that was a typo. And I will try and finish that thought momentarily. But as promised, we're joined right now by a cornerback for Jacksonville. First-team All-Pro, a Pro Bowler. He had 3 tackles and a pass defense. He had an interception as well on Sunday. For the season, 25 tackles, 4 passes defense, and an interception. He was a national champion and a consensus All-American at Florida State. The number 5 pick overall in 2016. Jacksonville is at Indy on November 11th. A CBS game today. Jalen Ramsey appears courtesy of the new Old Spice foamer. Jalen, nice to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good, Jalen. First off, let me say this. I respect the fact that you're coming on today because I've done this a long time. A lot of guys coming off a tough loss would not want to make a media appearance, even if they committed to it. So let me start right there. How you feeling right now in the midway mark of this season?
It's a little frustrating not being where we thought we would be as a team, but it's perfect for us because our bye comes directly in the midpoint of our season. So we have 8 games left. So I'm feeling really optimistic about the rest of the season and these other 8 games. So we're going to, you know, kind of reload this week and then get back at it next week.
Jalen Ramsey, my guest, you know, it's always good fodder for people to try and figure out what's going on inside your locker room when they're not inside the locker room. So it's very easy on the outside to look in and say, man, these guys, they must be panicking. All hell must be breaking loose. Except we're not on the inside. You are. Is there any sense of that on the inside of that locker room? And what's the mood right now?
No. I mean, the sense right now going on in the locker room is basically what I just said. I mean, everybody knows that. We have things to correct, and we're not where we want to be. We're not in the ideal position that we want to be in, but there's a lot of football left to be played, and that's the great thing about the NFL is there is a lot of football left. So we're all optimistic. We know we're going to come back, hopefully reloaded and ready to go the rest of the 8 games we have.
We're talking to Jalen Ramsey. Jalen, what was your reaction when you heard the report that 4 members of the secondary were detained after the incident at the nightclub in London? When you heard that, what was your reaction?
Just knowing those guys, knowing my teammates. I know, we have good guys on the team. So I was just, really wondering what happened, wondering if those guys were okay. I knew it, kind of had to be something going on. I wasn't quite sure, but I was just trying to make sure everybody was okay. And I'm glad they were. And I'm glad, the situation got handled however it got handled.
Did, in your opinion, did that impact the way anybody played? Did that impact the outcome of the game in any way?
I don't think so. As a team, we're a really close team. So everybody stuck together and, support each other.
We're talking to Jalen Ramsey. Let me ask you this. You've got a bye coming up. In fact, you're in the middle of the bye right now. And you face the Colts on November 11th. How do you approach the bye? For instance, do you try to unplug and get away from football, or do you stay completely locked in on everything that's happening around the league?
As a fan of the game, first and foremost, we definitely kind of stay locked into what's going on around the league, and especially with our bye coming right here at the trade deadline, we're definitely, tuned in to things that might be happening around the league, and just being fans of the game, first and foremost, we're all always tuned in. We never, check completely out, but we're definitely going to take this week to regroup and reload for when we come back.
We're talking to Jalen Ramsey of Jacksonville. I know you had the birth of your daughter right before the year started. You and your family did a mini documentary with Park Stories. And one of the things that your father, Lamont, talked about is the parents are taught that they're supposed to sacrifice so their kids can have more than they had in life. As you look back on your childhood and the way your parents invested time and energy to make sure that you grew up surrounded by love and a position to succeed, what does that mean to you, especially now that you're a parent?
Yeah, it means everything. You know, my parents always supported me and my brother in everything we did, and always, you know, showed us love. But until you kind of have your own, you never really understand that love that, you know, your parents kind of had for you. So now that I have my own little one in my life, I truly understand the sacrifices my parents made for me, and I'm just even more appreciative.
Now, your workout regimen is a stuff of legend. It goes back to childhood. For example, you would go to school and football practice, and on top of that, you would go through workouts with your father. What were those workouts like, and then how much did you feed off of those workouts?
Yeah, I mean, they were intense, but I knew it's what I needed to get my game to go to the next level. I dedicated myself to the game at an early age, and I always wanted to be the best, and I knew my dad would be the one to push me to be the best and do the things that I knew I could do and accomplish in my life. So, you know, I kind of owe it all to him and everybody I kind of grew up around, my brother and my friends, my mom, just everybody in my family who really supported me, and I just had to believe in them, honestly.
You know, it's interesting on the way up to do it like that and to use that approach, and it worked, right? But then you arrive in the NFL, and then you become an All-Pro. You can train anywhere you want now, L.A., Miami, anywhere in the world, but still you choose to go back home to Smyrna, Tennessee. Train with your pops, train with your brother in the garage. What are those training sessions like, and what do you take away from them now at this point in your career?
Those are the guys who've known me all my life. They've helped me get to the point that I'm at now to be able to live out my dreams. And why would I abandon it? That's something that I trust in. I trust in the workouts. I trust in the regimen that I have at home. And, I mean, not only that, but like I said, I get to be home. So I get to spend time, good quality time with my family.
Jalen, one thought about this season. It's a team sport, right? You win as a team, you lose as a team, but you're an extremely proud guy. You've worked your ass off to get where you are right now. You put the time in. How trying and challenging has this season been on you personally?
I'm a super ultra competitor. So at the end of the day, I always expect the best from myself. And, you know, I feel like I played well this year, but I feel like there's more I can tap into.
Jalen Ramsey, my guest, you're working with Old Spice and their new Old Spice Foamer Body Wash. Now, I'm going to assume that you're not going to endorse something that you don't like, that you don't use. So what is it about the Foamer body wash that you like so much? Take me through this.
Exactly, man. Exactly. Old Spice, I've always been an Old Spice fan since I was, you know, going on in high school and through college and now even in the NFL. Old Spice always helps me look good and smell my best on and off the field. So, you know, kind of today we're just introducing the Old Spice Foamer. And it's the new instantly lathering body wash, and it's available at Walmart. So it just really helps me, especially after long games when I come back in the locker room and I smell and I got to go out there. I got to see my daughter and I got to see my family. I get that Old Spice and I get lathered up and I get to smelling good.
We're talking to Jalen Ramsey, the new Old Spice Foamer. He appears courtesy of that today. Jacksonville's got the bye week coming up, and then they've got the Colts coming up on November 11th. That is a CBS game. Jalen, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much. Have a good
day. Thank you for having me.
Good talking to you. Thank you. Jalen Ramsey, as I mentioned, you go to London, you have a tough loss. There's a little bit of controversy. A lot of guys just say, you know what, I'm not doing that. I know I committed to that. I'm not doing that. I don't really feel like doing the interview. I'm not going to honor those commitments. And he did. And I appreciate it, and I respect it. Even in a conditional pitch. Let's Spice get some good dudes to come on. I like that pitch, too. Hey, listen, I go out there and I have a game, put in the time. I don't smell good. My family's waiting on me. I got to lather up instantly. Jalen Ramsey saying he's not too concerned about that. There's no panic inside that locker room, and they want to turn it around. Much like they turned it around last year, coming off a really bad year the year before. He makes it sound as if we can do that thing again. And nobody's panicking. Still ahead. One DB to another. Indianapolis Colts safety Mike Mitchell is going to join me in the next segment. He's having a big year with the Colts. That's next, but first up, here is a sports update. Welcome back. My thanks to Jalen Ramsey. And as I mentioned, from one DB to another, as promised, we're joined right now by a safety for the Indianapolis Colts. He had three tackles in Sunday's win over Oakland, seven tackles, including one for a loss, a couple of passes defensed, and an interception, and a forced fumble all in that Week 7 win over Buffalo. He was the AFC Defensive Player of the Week for Week 7. You might recall he was the 47th pick overall in 2009 out of Ohio. Jacksonville is at Indy November 11th, as I mentioned. Good friend of the program, Mike Mitchell, is my guest. Mike, it's great to have you back. How are you?
I'm fantastic, brother. That's a heck of an intro. I'm definitely doing good, but I am very happy to be on the show.
Yeah, Mike, great to have you back on the show. And I think to do that intro justice, I mean, it's even more amazing when you consider how much you've accomplished, not only over the course of your career, but how much you've done this year in such a short period of time. I want to talk to you about so many things, but starting with the Colts, you've had an immediate impact on that team. You're winning awards already. The team has won two straight, and you just got there. So bring me up to date. How is life for Mike Mitchell right now?
Man, it's very good. I can't complain. And I'm beginning to do what I love, which is play the game of football. You know, some of those other things that you said, those very kind things that you said, they can't all be attributed to me. Obviously, I always give glory to God. No matter how life is going, I try to always do that. But then, you know, I've got a great bunch of teammates that I'm playing with that are helping me get the job done. So it's less about me and more about other people.
We're talking to Mike Mitchell. Mike, I knew it. I knew you were going to say that. I mean, you were named the AFC Defensive Player of the Week for Week 7. But right after that award was announced, that's exactly what you did. You gave credit to everybody else. You took none yourself. Deep down, though, is there pride and a positive feeling to step off of the street, back onto the field, and have that kind of impact as quickly as you have?
There is some satisfaction with knowing that you got the job done, and that most importantly, we were able to win a game. You know, I pride myself on always winning football. I've won everywhere I've been, so that's extremely important to me. You know, most importantly was us being able to get one, and now we got two. We can rest up, get into this bye, and see where it goes from here. But I'm definitely optimistic. Hopefully I can continue this good play that I've been doing. Obviously, you know, I don't think anyone's extremely happy. We gave up 28 points against the Oakland Raiders last week, but we're definitely optimistic.
Colts safety Mike Mitchell joining us. Speaking of Oakland, that meant you were back where your NFL career started. Al Davis drafted you when you were coming out of Ohio, and you've said, quote, "I don't really live my life proving people wrong, but I think that I've always wanted to prove the people that have loved and supported me correct. Mr. Davis is one of them," end of quote. So when you think about Al Davis, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Nothing but good things to say. Nothing but just gratefulness and appreciation comes to mind. You know, obviously, you know, he gave me my first opportunity. People kind of laughed at him and mocked him for making that pick 10 years ago. And that's just something that's always kind of, like you just said in that quote that I said, you know, that's kind of how I've always been. You know, sometimes, you know, you do hear negativity and it's kind of like it'll light a fire under your butt, but that's more temporary. The things that keep you going when things are going well or just overall in general is getting the support from, like, my father, my brother, my mother, and like you said, people like Mr. Davis that truly believed in me and took a chance on me. That's what's always motivated me to succeed. And, you know, I actually had a good talk with Mr. Mark Davis. I think him and I still have a very good relationship. And I give him a hug just based off the strength of what his father did for me and my family, giving me my first opportunity to let me play this game that I love. So I have nothing but positive and great things to say about Mr. Al Davis and just the Davis family in general.
We're talking to Mike Mitchell, Colts safety, joining us once again. Now, your road to this spot with the Colts was a little bit different than expected in the sense that the offseason was a little longer than expected, in part because that free agent market for safeties was kind of strange, a little bit slow, a little bit flat. What was that experience like?
It was challenging, to say the least. But, you know, you got to have faith. You got to just believe that the right opportunity will come. You know, and I've been presented that opportunity here in Indianapolis, and I'm trying to just make the most of it. you know, obviously I've learned over the 10 years of experience, you take nothing in this game for granted. Every day is a blessing. So, you know, going there with that mindset that you're there to do work, you're there to get better, and, you know, I think it's been paying off for me.
So, like, you had other opportunities and there were other options, but you were waiting for the right one. What made you feel like the Colts was the right one?
Well, you know, just to be totally honest with you, they were, you know, letting me – I knew I could come here and start right away. You know, it wasn't more of you being designated a reserve role and, you know, play some special teams, even though – and I have – and I've said this before because I've answered that question before. I have the utmost respect for the men on special teams. That's a very important job. It's a critical phase in the game, the kicking game is, and the return game. Lots of field. So I have the utmost respect for special teams. I did that. That's really how I earned my living my first 4 years in this league. But I had felt like I'd reached a point in my career where it's like, you know what? One, that's an extremely dangerous play. It's probably one of the most dangerous plays you can be in football. And then two, it's just like, you know, I feel like I've earned the right to be able to compete for a starting opportunity. And I felt like my body of work has spoken for itself, and I just knew that's what I needed to be able to prove to people that, man, I'm still a starter. I'm still one of the best guys at this position. And the Colts have given me that opportunity.
Well, and you've proven that, AFC Player of the Week, right when you got there. So there's no doubt that you can still play. But, Mike, is it true that you and your agent had agreed that if the right opportunity did not come along by October 31st, that you'd be willing to walk away from the game? Had you made peace with that? Is that how that was?
100%. You know, that was a true statement. We'd kind of made a date. And, you know, one, I love football, but that's not everything that I am. I don't know if anyone pays attention to what I'm doing on social media, but, you know, I'm always – my family, I'm very much family-oriented. I do these type of things like I'm doing with you in the radio or TV. You know, there's plenty of other things that I do that kind of – you know, obviously, like I said, football is number one priority right now, but I'm more than just a football player. I love LeBron's thing he's been rocking with more than an athlete. I think a lot of guys, we really are so many other things, but obviously because the sport is so popular and so famous – people really designate us. It's just one thing, but I think just to be healthy as a human, in no matter what job you have, I think you need to be well-rounded in a bunch of different things.
Colts safety, Mike Mitchell is my guest. Mike, I was about to say, paying attention to you on social, and I could see the way you were going about this thing. Like, you might be about more than just football, but as you were waiting for the right opportunity, you were training like crazy. You were hitting that really hard. What were the training sessions like, and what was motivating you to go as hard as you were?
Just knowing that I was having faith that the right opportunity would come, and I knew I needed to be ready. I truly felt like last year, you know, I never once made an excuse during the season. My dad always says there's a reason for failure, but never an excuse. But playing under some of the conditions that I had just wasn't a smart business move by me to be out there doing that. I knew that that's not how I wanted my last year to be, potentially. I wanted to go out and put the work in, be healthy. I think that's the number one thing I can say about, you know, people have been asking me about what's kind of been different. I'm so grateful to God for blessing me with my health. You know, if you're not 100%. If you're not 70%, these dudes are world-class athletes. I don't want to say it's arrogant because that's not why you were doing it. You're doing it for more of like a, I don't want to have my teammates out there without me type of thing. It's not an arrogance type of thing. It's just like more of a brotherhood type of thing. But with that saying all that, you can't do that because, you know, if AB is 100% and we're talking about Antonio Brown, you at 70% cannot, it's hard enough with you at 100% to compete. You know what I mean? So to try to do that at 70, it's just not smart.
It's really interesting what you just said because, I mean, you guys are taught from day one, you got to be out there. You got to find a way to get out there. You know, the old school thought is that the bone's not coming through the skin. You find a way to get out there for yourself and for your teammates. But to your point, yeah. Mike, there's a business decision to be made. And if you're not looking out for you, nobody else will, which brings me to Le'Veon Bell. Is he making a business decision, and do you respect it and understand it?
I think that he is. I mean, you have to look at it, and I mean, I based on what I'm seeing, you know, that is what I think he's doing. You know, I think he touched the ball more than anybody in football last year. That's a lot of contact. That's a lot of touches. he has a certain number that in his head, and what can anybody else say about what a man feels they're worth? You know, no one can put a price tag except for that human being. And I think he's holding out for that. Do I think he's definitely one of the best running backs in all of football? Absolutely. I think you're going to see more players kind of following this trend because, you know, for us to be playing the most dangerous sport, it's funny that our contracts aren't guaranteed. You'd think, you know, not taking anything away from basketball or baseball, but, you know, those sports are fully guaranteed. So I think we just need to mesh up. Obviously, the collective bargaining agreement is getting closer to a close, so we'll see what happens there. But I think until we get that, you know, Kirk Cousins kind of knocked the door down with his guarantee. But until that starts to be the trend all the way around the board, I think it's going to take more guys doing what Le'Veon Bell's doing for us to get more guaranteed money.
We're talking to Mike Mitchell. And Mike, with respect to the fact that you're no longer there, you're with the Colts, I understand that. But you kind of understand the dynamic of that locker room. The other thing that we're led to believe is you never talk about another man's money. And that's just understood. You don't do that. The reaction earlier this season of Le'Veon's teammates, where they were upset, what was that all about? Did they think that he was coming in and he didn't? You just never, ever see guys call out another guy for trying to get what they think is theirs.
You know, to be totally honest with you, like you just said, I'm not there, so I can't really speak on that. I can't speak about the character of that locker room, and I can legitimately say that those are some very, very, very good dudes, and it's very much a brotherhood. I mean, there's still got at least 10 guys on that football team that I talk to on a very regular basis, and like you just said, I play for the Colts. It is a genuine brotherhood there, should you be speaking, to answer your question, should another man be speaking about someone else's money? No, they shouldn't. But to talk about the character of those guys, I know they all legitimately care about one another. I think sometimes, you know, the media can, you know what they do. They can twist things to make it seem like there's more drama than there really is. Who knows? But I think those guys care about each other a lot.
We're talking to Mike Mitchell. You know, Mike, you obviously had a very strong presence in that locker room, and then you left and you went to the Colts, and it carried right over. Frank Reich said, he said this about you, quote, he just oozes leadership right from the start. He walks in off the street and is leading by example, making plays, and in other ways as well. So let me ask you this. How do you go from walking right into a locker room and then immediately establishing yourself as a leader? What was your approach?
I think it's just something – leaders just lead. I don't really know what makes – it's hard to put your finger on it. It's more about what you do and less about what you say. I think if you have that approach, I mean, that's usually what leaders do. I read a lot, and one of my favorite guys to read about is General Patton. And one of his quotes was, never ask your men to do something you wouldn't be willing to do first. And I truly live by that saying, especially in a football sense. You know, how can I tell a corner to throw his face in there to make a tackle if he doesn't repeatedly seeing me throw my face in there to make that tackle? You have to be accountable. It's doing all those things. It's just doing. And then if you're doing the right things and people are seeing you make plays and they're kind of like, I kind of want to do that. So it kind of just happens. And it's not like I'm going out there and saying a whole lot. It's just me being me. Trying to be the best person I can be every day, being grateful to God for the opportunity, and just being me.
And he was
very grateful. Coach said that comment though.
It's a great quote. It's a great quote, and he did say that, and he made a point of saying that he was the AFC Defensive Player of the Week for Week 7, coming off an enormous game in that win over Buffalo and also the win over Oakland. Mike Mitchell, my guest. Mike, so good to get caught up. Great to have you back on. Good to see you out there. Let's make sure we do this again before the end of the year.
Absolutely, brother. I very much look forward to it. Thank you for having me, as always.
Appreciate you, Mike. Thank you for doing it, as always. Mike Mitchell, always a great conversation. Skip the gym. Get a high-energy workout with Peloton. I did yesterday. I love it. Live studio cycling classes from the comfort of your home with New York City's best instructors. Ride with thousands of other Peloton riders across the country on the interactive leaderboard. Track your own metrics over time. Continue to beat your own personal best. Head to onepeloton.com. Onepeloton.com, I'll say it again. I bought my Peloton long before they came on the program. I love that product. Onepeloton.com. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. We're out.